It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Corey Crenshaw, and this is Sporty with Corey and Richie Suave on the Hockey Podcast Network. Welcome back in, everybody. As you can tell by our intro, Richie is not here. He is currently in Vegas, sitting at a cigar bar watching the Cardinals game on a tiny little TV. So he can't be with us today because he's doing much cooler things. But to make it even more fun, because Scotty's got some really interesting things to say about Richie's commentary here on the podcast as of recent. So with us is one of my favorite people, my fiance, Mr. Scotty Farr. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. Richie is gone, and he is at a cigar shop, but that is not the reason why he is not here.
Yes.
He's going to be gone for the next, what, 3 weekends?
Mm-hmm.
But not for anything in particular except a passion of his, because he is following the fiber deficiency in America. And I quote what Richie said is, I'm going to be gone the next 3 weekends because I want to be the Johnny Appleseed of fiber, but with a celery stalk instead of an apple. So Richie will be gone the next 3 weeks promoting fiber and mainly just fiber. A lot of constipation in America, and Richie's very passionate about it. So if you can just reach out to Richie, tell him congrats, just give him some positive support because he's just, you know, dealing with a lot of crap.
Well, we keep on going down that route. The last time I was gone, you guys said what? I had
explosive diarrhea
or...
Yeah, but that kind of like kickstarted Richie's thing about fiber deficiency. He realized the Western society like doesn't need enough fiber. And when he grew up, he said, I wanted to be just like Johnny Appleseed. And I was like, well, he already existed. So what are you going to do? And then he's like, well, I'm going to be the vegetable Johnny Appleseed. So now Richie is walking around in Vegas with a sack full of celery.
Just handing it
to people. And he's handing it to people for free. And that's why, donate to Richie's cause, reach out to support, and that's going to keep him going. Not just in Vegas, he's going to be in Colorado soon, LA soon. Those are the hardest hit fiber deficiency places in America. So give Richie some support and help him out with this cause of handing out celery stock to our beautiful nation and our very constipated people.
My God, my cheeks hurt. I'm like laughing so hard. My cheeks hurt. For those of you who don't know, whenever Scotty comes on the podcast, he usually tries to come up with some crazy reason why we aren't on the podcast.
It is crazy, but it's true. I just want everyone to know all of it's been true. So.
Oh God, that one was actually very creative. Like, it took a lot of mental thought for that one. Richie's been excited for this, actually. He can't wait to leave so he can get basically made fun of in so many different ways by the ways that you're going to say he's gone. So he's going to enjoy this one. I feel like this is a whole new level. I thought nothing could beat my explosive diarrhea one when I was gone, but this one I think beats it.
We've brought awareness to a lot of causes. Traveler's diarrhea. You know, with the bacteria.
It's crazy how many people didn't know details about traveler's diarrhea until that podcast.
This
came
show
out.
Is like part in like NPR, you know, medical interesting fact show. But
yeah, you guys ended up bringing up like actual like medical facts in that.
We went down a rabbit hole.
It was what an interesting show that was. Yeah, no, I was honestly just exhausted from work that show. And so you guys decided to have a little boys night in the pod, but yeah, I didn't think anything was going to beat that, but I think this officially has done it.
Yeah, well, we'll keep everyone updated weekend by weekend basis, and maybe we'll have Richie record a video for his followers and, you know, give a shout out.
If we can get Richie eating a piece of celery to put on our socials, I will be so happy. That will be my
favorite
thing this week.
He traveled to Vegas, and he sent a picture, I think he might delete it, with 4 suitcases full of celery. Like, TSA stopped him and said, "Sir, what are you doing with all the celery?" And he said, I'm giving America an enema," is essentially what he said.
What would you say to TSA? Have you ever tried to get through TSA with a bunch of celery? Like, what? I don't even know.
I feel like TSA has seen some weird stuff, but celery might top that.
Yeah, I can only imagine the things that TSA has seen. The things that TSA has seen and the TSA has felt. Because they've felt
a lot of stuff.
Well, that's the thing, is they've got to like reach into everyone's bags. They've got to touch people. Like, I just feel like there's some weird shit out there that they've had to deal with.
I digress on this, as Richie and Corey would say, their favorite line. Because every time you hear "I digress," we're going to donate to someone's favorite cause.
Well, it's because we go down these little rabbit holes like this, where we're now talking about celery for like 5 minutes. But to kind of change what we're talking about here, Scotty and I have been betting all morning on NFL games, and Scotty has a bet out on this Cardinals game, and it's always the hardest game for me of the year. It's on right now as we're recording. It's always the hardest game for me of the year because of the fact that it is against my Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, the kind of Sparknose version for those who don't know, my dad was born in Minnesota and was a fan of the Vikings before the Cardinals were here in Arizona. And once the Cardinals came, he just kind of added the Cardinals, but never really gave up his love for Minnesota. So I was always raised as a fan of both teams. So when I watch this game, I can neither win or lose, because it's going to be great and shitty either way it goes.
Yeah, I should have learned my lesson that anytime I bet on the Cardinals or Vikings, I usually get screwed one way or another. You know, I did a nice parlay on DraftKings, and it did hit on the Texans and the 49ers. But as of right now, the Cardinals are kind of disappointing. Maybe they can get that -4 spread, but we'll see on that. Like I said, had a few parlays on DraftKings. Shout out THPN for the promo code.
Yeah, that actually is really great. Mwah. We always do a chef's kiss whenever there's a perfect transition in our show, because we're too nerdy. We can't just do it. So props to you. But it's a great transition into our ad read for DraftKings, which is week 2 of football is in the books. And now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week 3 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss any of this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any week 3 game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Scotty, I think, honestly, I have had the most educational time with sports betting than I have ever had, because of the fact, you know, I've always heard Richie talking about things and talking about the spread and all this stuff, but it's crazy how many people I've actually had to explain it to myself now that I've learned it. So it's always like, you always learn more. It sticks in your brain when you're having to explain it to other people. I was having to explain it to my mom like 4 times last night for her to get it. I finally leave their house and I get a text message that says my mom wants to start sports betting now. So I don't know if this is a good sign or a bad sign with my explanation that my mom now wants to do sports betting. She's one of the last people I thought would ever.
Yeah, I think both me and you were a little confused on the sports betting. Luckily, Richie helped us. And like I said, DraftKings came up clutch and we luckily were able to win a few bets. And, you know, I don't know about now, Vikings just scored again. Like I said, the Vikings just love to screw us in so many different ways. It's just, I can't even describe it any other way. But, you know, we got a lot more to talk about besides just sports betting, because we could talk all day on now that we found this new love-hate relationship with sports betting.
It's per basically watching football in general. It's always a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, and we could be putting our money towards way better things like Richie's GoFundMe, but we could gamble it, double it, send it to Richie. He can maybe expand to kale, but kale is a hot commodity right now. But
kale is a hot commodity. I think a lot, since a lot of the like models and, you know, the skinny people of America really started talking about kale, a lot of people hopped on that kale bandwagon.
If we get at least 10 people to reach out to Richie, he will wear a carrot costume when he's handing out his celery stalks in Colorado. So 10 people, shout out Richie, tell him good job on, you know, fiber awareness. And Richie may be wearing a carrot costume here soon. So
a carrot costume. He would rock that carrot costume.
Tell me about my wiener guy, but it'll be Richie.
No, it's ask me about my wiener. Ask me about my wiener. Yeah, you got to get it right. That would be Accepted, right? I think that's the name of that movie. Yeah. That actually was pretty good. That is old days of Jonah Hill, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, early days Jonah.
Yeah, but we do actually have some Coyotes talk to get into in the show. We won't keep talking about celery the whole time, we promise. One of the things that we kind of wanted to touch on, because I feel like you were seeing it basically everywhere, was Dylan Gunther had a goal during the prospect game versus the Knights, and it was beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. Hit the in fact, it actually hit the Gatorade water bottle off the net and dented the shit out of that thing, and water just went flying. So it was such a great goal, and it was I actually watched it like 4 or 5 times in a row. So it's really good to see that type of you know, that type of play out of him, and to see the potential that's down the line, because we've been looking at this for a while in the fact that we don't know exactly how Bill Armstrong's decisions, what he's making. We like them as they stand, as they look right now, but it's, you know, we won't actually know until later how they actually pay off. This is a good sign that it's actually going to start paying off. And I mean, the Canucks fans are pissed because that pick came from the trade for OEL and Garland. And they're saying that, you know, they could have gotten him. And so they're a little bit salty, but I think it's a little too early to get salty over, you know, just good play in a couple games and, you know, in a rookie game. But I do like the prospect of that. The fact that someone is getting jealous of the Coyotes for once is actually kind of nice.
I mean, for the Coyotes, they're not going to be good, obviously, for at least a couple years. So Coyotes fans have to take their excitement where they get it. Canucks fans definitely can't be jealous because they got Garland and OEL, two ready NHL players. OEL obviously has had his struggles, but they get two NHL players ready now. Coyotes are investing in him
to Dylan for at least, you know, a couple years until he'll probably be NHL ready. But I mean, it's exciting. I remember it's trending all over Twitter. Buchagross gave it a shout out. You know, that's like Coyotes have to kind of build on that. And for Bill Armstrong, you're at least for Coyote fans, you at least get to see the start of his era begin. And yeah, it was a rookie scrimmage, but I mean, that's a goal scorer's goal that he scored right there off the side of a power play. So something to be excited about for Coyotes, and also something to be excited for with Bill Armstrong, and hopefully seeing how he ends up drafting in the future, not only for just this draft, but also for future drafts. He's had so many draft picks he collected. You're not going to really get to see the full scope of that until a few years, unfortunately. But I think this is a good start, and I think it's going to put some of these people a little bit to rest who are kind of critical of, you know, him flushing the team completely out and restarting. You know, the only one I would say I was kind of sad about was Dvorak. Mine was
Garland, actually.
Yeah, Garland, they could have easily gone. I think they could have gotten him for a decent deal, too. But my guess is the Canucks weren't willing to give up a first just for OEL because of OEL's bad contract and even bad play. So
yeah, he's not the player he used Garland to be. Probably never will be.
Oh, no. And Garland, unfortunately, had to probably get thrown in there. But yeah, I'd probably agree. Garland, Dvorak, losing those guys hurt. But if they can hit on Dylan Gunther and some of these other players, Josh Doan, who I got beef to pick with Richie on, and some of the other players they drafted.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. It's an interesting point of view that Scotty has on that you actually, Sport Nation, might agree with. I've seen some people out here and there that actually kind of agree with his point of view on it, so we'll have to get into that. But yeah, anything that shows promise for the future of this team, and anyone that shows promise as being a goal scorer that is going to put in really solid top line minutes and really can be that goal scorer of the future for this team is a big deal, because really this team hasn't had a really solid goal scorer for a long time. And that is going to be very seriously needed if this team is going to be at the caliber that it wants to be here in the future. You know, we're saying 4 years down the line, we're hoping for a brand new stadium with a Stanley Cup contending team. You're going to need to have a really strong goal scorer for that. And so if Gunther can be that, then 100% this team is moving in the correct direction if that's what it is.
Yeah. And Bill Armstrong and the Coyotes need to shoot to probably start hitting their stride probably 2024, 2025. And that's solely because obviously you're doing a complete rebuild. Coyotes have done so many rebuilds that it's frustrating. But also, too, they're probably going to be stepping into a new arena, a new atmosphere, a new rebranding. And if you're going to be rebranding, you're going to want a team that's really going to start hitting its stride in 2024, 2025. Not only with all these draft picks, but also with free agent signings. You know, these years for Bill Armstrong are obviously critical. He gave them a ton of draft capital to start out with, and he gave them some cap space in the future to be able to pick up some free agents. Obviously, everyone wants Austin Matthews, which would be great.
Which actually, how do you feel about that? That's another thing that Richie's kind of been like conspiracy theory throwing out here, is the time when the timeline for Austin Matthews to be a free agent is kind of goes in line with what we are seeing right now for a possible new arena. So it would be new team, new arena, and Austin Matthews all at once. What do you think about that conspiracy theory?
And that is very much possible. But two things have to happen. The Coyotes have to be coming into their stride and like look very promising, almost like kind of the Avs were those years back when they got Landeskog, McKinnon, and all that type of promising. And Toronto really has to botch it the next 3 years, because Toronto was only built to win a Stanley Cup in that five-year period. If by time Austin Matthews becomes a free agent and they don't sniff the Eastern Conference Finals or a Stanley Cup, he's going to be gone. Because one, Toronto's going to have to blow up that team regardless. They have such high cap going on with their entire team. They keep, you know, they have a great core, and they keep, you know, last season they tried to go, you know, more older guys. But those are things I have to see happen for Austin Matthews to want to come here and for free agents in general, because over the last probably decade, free agents have been kind of about coming to Arizona because of ownership issues, arena issues, the team not doing well. You know, these last 4 years under Talk generated a lot of interest into the Coyotes that a lot of guys came. In the end, that team didn't get it done. It was a very vanilla team, as, you know, the last GM and, you know, how they put the team together wasn't that great. That's why I have a lot of faith in Bill Armstrong with what he just did is, you know, yeah, we may be hurting with the Dvorak, maybe Garland, but he's going to build a team from scratch. You know, the Coyotes always did this semi-rebuild. They needed a full reset, and this is what they're going to get. And guys like Keller and a lot of their other young core that they kept need to step up, like Chychrun, because in 3 to 4 years, they're going to be at the prime of their careers. Along with all the young guys, you may be able to see a really good Coyotes team.
One of the people that I keep saying needs to step the fuck up, that we really need to see progression from, and I used to always be this way on Keller, which I still always think that Keller needs to be at a better level, but I also think he hasn't been utilized correctly. He's more of a playmaker than he is a goal scorer, which is another reason why you need a pure goal scorer on this team in the future, because that's never going to be Keller's position, and they've been trying to force that out of him for years, and that'll never be who he is. But is Barrett Hayton. Barrett Hayton is supposed to be a top center in NHL. Really, it's supposed to be like Bergeron, and he hasn't really gotten to that point. They've nurtured him quite well. And I feel like I've harped on this a fair amount on the pod, and the fact that they gave him a lot of time. He came up, didn't really produce what he needed to produce, got really pissed when they sent him back down. And I think this is his do or die time, where he realizes, okay, I need to get my shit together and really develop into what he's supposed to be. I get it's very difficult timing for him to come up, and everything all around coronavirus and everything was probably not the best thing for him to come into, but there's a lot of growth that needs to be done from him in order for them to be consistent as well, because centers in the NHL aren't something that you come across every single day, at least for the good ones. So I think a lot of their future is going to be on him progressing as well.
Yeah, no, and that's what, with Dvorak gone, you're going to need a center to step up. They're also going to need someone to step up in the shootouts, because Coyotes gained a lot of points because of Dvorak's shootout abilities. So, yeah, Barrett Hayden's a big one. I thought Talkin made the right decision in sending him down, because unless Barrett Hayden's playing power play minutes and, you know, really playing those top line minutes, he wasn't put there to be a third or fourth line guy with minimal minutes. So sending him down the AHL is perfect, even though he didn't do that great in the AHL. So I agree, this season really is a do or die for Barrett Hayden. Also, it's a final goodbye to the old GM and what he built with his team, because Barrett Hayton was one of his last picks. And again, he's not really panning out. The only two that really panned out from the last regime was Keller-ish, and for sure on Chychrun, which that was a big one. So like I said, Bill Armstrong, he's banking on some guys hopefully stepping up, but if they don't, he got plenty of draft capital to say, you know what, you were my decision. If you're not going to produce, I got 7 other second rounders, 3 first rounders. He's like, I'll just replace you, you know? And I love that he did that. And it brings my point. I was frustrated with Richie, where a lot of people were harping on the Coyotes for drafting Josh Doan early. My issue with that is obviously he was projected a late second rounder, but what does Bill Armstrong have to gain from a PR move? And I felt like I saw a lot of this on Twitter, like, oh, PR move, PR. Like, what does Bill Armstrong have to gain from that? If the team still sucks in the next 4 years, him having, people aren't going to be like, oh, well, at least he drafted Doan's son. Like, no one's going to really care. I feel like I want to put to rest this whole, oh, you know, Doan's son was a PR move, because Bill Armstrong has nothing to gain from that. Like, the ownership isn't going to be like, oh, well, he made some okay moves, but, oh, good thing you drafted Josh Doan. That'll put people in the stands. Like, he's not even going to be ready for at least another 3, maybe 4 years, right when the Coyotes are hoping to hit their stride. So he might fit into that lineup at the right exact time. But in the meantime, you know, we have to wait and see. And I'm trying to put the haters down, even Johnny Apple Richie.
I think, yeah, that it's, I think it's an interesting situation. I actually, oddly enough, I'm in the middle of both of you. I think it looked good optics wise, and it was a great way to get a lot of fans behind this team. And the fact that, you know, Doan was such, and still is such a prominent figure in the Valley, you know, just like Larry Fitzgerald is for the Cardinals. Doan is just one of those people that most people in the state know who he is, love him, and he has always kind of been the face of this team. So optics wise, I think it was great for like a rallying cry for Coyotes fans and Arizonans alike. But especially too, with the fact that, that Josh Doan will be at ASU. So it's all very hometown friendly. But I do to some degree say him to pick him where he did, it wouldn't have made sense unless he saw promise in him coming out of it. It just, his biggest thing is down the road, he wants this team to be a Stanley Cup contending team. And that's his number one goal. He, yes, he cares about optics, but I don't think as much as anyone would assume. Because in the end, when he's been interviewed, when he's made any commentary, it's all very, without saying it, in the nicest way possible, but like he basically says, I could give two fucks about anything else that has to do, you know, the front office can deal with all that bullshit. I'm here to make a good team, do really great scouting, and really build this team from the bottom up. And so I do have to, I think it was great optics wise. I think that was like a little incentive, but I also don't think that he was doing it purely off of that. I think there's more to it. There's more, he saw more in Josh Doan than people are giving him credit for.
Oh yeah. They even said they thought he was going to be gone late first round. People are kind of saying like, oh, it was going to be a late second. This draft this year was so messed up.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Doan's son was, you know, available the previous year. So it's like, it's so bizarre this last draft to say, oh, this person was supposed to be here and there. You like, we have no idea. You know, Josh Doan went from being his first year in the USHL was okay to he's a top five scorer in the USHL the next year after.
And they had out, and it was even discussed that there was a large amount of development that went between those two years. And the fact that that type of large development hadn't really been seen. So it really shows an ability for growth in him. And as we were just kind of talking about with Barrett Hayton, it's a big deal to have a lot of growth in players and knowing that you can get that out of them. Because a lot of times when you're drafting a player, especially in a draft that you don't have really great scouting on, you don't know what their ability for growth is. You know what they're putting on the table now, but you don't know if they will be able to move from where they are now to the NHL level. And with him, you can have more faith in the fact that he can fill that gap because of the fact that you have seen it happen between those 2 years.
Oh yeah, no. And that's what I think, you know, when moving forward with the Coyotes in these next 4 years, they have a lot of promise. And I think guys like Doan who got drafted, you know, earlier, I think they're going to come up big as the time goes on. And you know, he has an advantage that most prospects don't have an advantage is he's played on the ice with other NHL pros. You know, Shane Doan and other NHL guys, especially during COVID and after last season, they were having practices down at Iceden. McDavid, a bunch of them were down at Iceden. And who else was on the ice? Josh Doan and a lot of the other guys got to practice with these NHL caliber guys. That experience alone is invaluable because they see the level they have to play to. You know, when I end up playing at ASU, it was just club hockey. But going from just like a normal, you know, travel team to any college level, you realize how much faster it is, and you end up having to, you learn to play up. Giving those guys experience like that to play up, they learn, oh, I got to be way faster. I got to be stronger. And it motivates them a lot of times to get to that level. So I think the Coyotes are going to have a bright future with him. Richie's extremely wrong on this subject, and I just wanted to let him know, not to his face, but indirectly through a subtweeted podcast.
Well, I mean, he'll hear it. It's his podcast.
Yeah, that is true. I just wanted to call him out on his own podcast.
Yeah, so that's what he's going to hear it one way or another.
I think Cat was also on his side, so I also want to call it Cat for that.
Cat was also on his side. So
I think, in layman terms, extremely wrong.
So who knows? We might have to put this on Twitter, start a Twitter war out of this. Another thing that was actually out in the public eye that we were kind of talking about on last podcast was that the Coyotes now have their new AGM, and no Leafs fans were happy about it. They were all very grumpy about it. I was reading some tweets and some comments on some articles last podcast, and that had dropped on Wednesday, and he was interviewed on Thursday, and there were some interesting little quotes that came out of this that I felt were kind of charged, to be honest with you. Here's one of them that rubbed me kind of weird. What's gone on here previously has not worked, he said Thursday. That can be a little bit harsh, but you are what your record says you are, and there's lots of areas that Billy has addressed and will need to be addressed on or off the ice. He's well on his way, and I'm here to help. We have a bright future here. I can't give you a timeline, certainly. I'll leave that to others, but a level of respect needs to be earned in any business, especially in this business. That one had like some weird undertones. Maybe I'm reading too far into it, but I felt like there were some weird undertones in that, where when he was saying like what's gone on here previously has not worked, I would really like to know exactly what he meant by that. If he meant by that in the fact of like since the inception of the Coyotes being here, or if he meant literally just in like the, you know, the last rebuild. Because if he's talking about the last rebuild, yeah, it didn't work to what they wanted it to be. But I mean, this team still, you know, made it into playoffs, when made it into the bubble and made it into playoffs. It's not like they hadn't really been, they were mediocre, but they weren't horrendous. You know, he made it seem like they don't deserve any respect, that they have to earn that respect. I feel like there's plenty of teams that have played much worse for a much longer amount of time recently, that I feel like he's kind of coming into this with the same mentality that a lot of people come into the Coyotes with, which is like they need to earn a level of respect. I think they have respect. I think there's just, they've never been able to, in the past like decade, they haven't really been able to, because 2011, 2012 season, I think is what it was, where they made that really strong push, that Pacific Division win. They haven't had a team that's been strong like that since then. So I just think they haven't been able to get to that next level. Not that they don't deserve respect, but they haven't been able to make it to that next level.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, you know, it's not like it's necessarily the team doesn't deserve respect. You know, they did get to the play-ins, the playoffs, stuff like that. I think he's talking about the organization as a whole. For the last decade, they have been mediocre. They recently lost our first round pick and got, you know, severe punishment from the NHL. They drafted a kid last year that they end up having to release because of many off the ice issues. And just like I said, just over the last, ownership issues, they're really, I kind of agree with them. What respect do you have when there's just nothing there to build off of? And is that against the Coyotes and the people of Arizona? No, but it should be definitely against management, ownership, and all them, because they have failed the Coyotes for the last decade. Not even the coaches, even the last AGM who drafted the kid who ended up having to get, I want to say relegated, too much Ted Lasso, but who got kicked off the team. But I agree with him in that sense. You know, there are plenty of NHL teams that are embarrassing, you know, Buffalo, Edmonton, Ottawa. Believe me, they have plenty of teams that have arena issues, that have on the ice issues, that can't build it together with multiple first round picks or first overall picks. Coyotes haven't even had a first overall pick. But I do agree with him, a sense of, you know, what respect do people have when their owner, and I'm targeting this directly at the ownership. I hope everyone knows. I'm not even going to target it at the players, because I feel like all this is on ownership and management and previous GMs that have decimated the credibility of the Coyotes.
Well, and I also mean, like, think about all of the years that we made jokes about the fact that number one picks went to the Oilers to die. Like, it was like, you know, it was for their careers to die. And that's the thing, is we had made those jokes for a long time, but I feel like it, to say that the Coyotes don't deserve respect is a little harsh. Yeah. I do think you do have to earn it to some degree, but it's an interesting wording for someone who is not very well liked around fans of the NHL.
I'll put it this way. I think the Coyotes are in good hands with Bill Armstrong and their current administration, even their ownership. I think they're in good hands. I think their previous is where all this blame lies. And I think Bill Armstrong has cleaned house. I think their scouting is already better. I think their GM, AGM are way better. I think they are in a great position. So to Coyotes fans, I think there's a lot to be hopeful for. Yes, these couple years may be rough, but I think there's going to be a lot to look forward to in the future. And keep buying tickets, keep supporting the team on the ice, because they're the ones that are working their butt off to get this respect and who've had to endure, you know, bad GM decisions. And it's not their fault because of that. Yeah, maybe their on-ice play can be sloppy, but I think a lot of this had to do with just pure management, and I think they're going to go into an incredible direction. I think there's a bright future ahead. There's my happy ending.
No, I think that's awesome. And I think that's also, like, an awesome way to end this podcast, because, you know, we've talked so much back and forth and ups and downs of this team for so long. It's true. In the end, there is a lot of bright things that are on the way for this team. I think the way that Bill Armstrong is taking this team is in a great direction at the moment. You know, we'll see as time goes on. They have so many second round draft picks next draft year. So I, you know, there's so much yet to come. It's hard for us to say for sure, but I think that's good. I think we should end on a nice, happy, cheery note, because it's may not be very cheery throughout the rest of the season. So
there's going to be some stuff they're going to have to endure with, Coyote fans, but a lot to be happy about. Don't forget to give Richie a shout out. 10 people. He wears a carrot costume, hands out celery stalk to people.
I'm going to have to ask him about this on the podcast.
Richie kind of has an orangish glow to him anyways, so he just has to get
orangish glow to him anyways. He has the height for it.
Yeah, he is very lanky, like a carrot. Like, if there were carrot people, I would describe them as lanky people.
So he would be a carrot person.
Yeah, so shout out Richie, carrot person. Give him a shout out, helping America with fiber deficiency.
Well, I'll have to ask him about it for Wednesday's podcast. He'll be in the middle of all of these. He will be able to come back for the Wednesday podcast to defend himself, I guess, essentially.
Yeah, if he says he's not doing that, he's just being modest and bashful. He's definitely doing this. So don't think otherwise.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, Sporting Nation. We will be talking to you again on Wednesday. Richie will be with us on that show, but don't worry, Richie will be gone for the next two more weekends, so you will hear from Scotty and his different stories on why Richie is gone sometime in the next few weeks. And good night and good hockey, everybody.